Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined once again, as we have the privilege of being each week, by Gordon Chang, by my lights, one of the country's preeminent Asia experts, and certainly one of the most prolific commentators on what is happening in that part of the world. You can find his writings at Forbes.com, and also you can find him in the flesh frequently on Fox News and contributing mightily in many ways to the understanding of, I think, both our government and the rest of us as to the portentous developments that are taking place in that part of the world. Gordon, welcome back. Good to have you as always.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You've written a rather bracing piece in the Daily Beast recently, Gordon, entitled History's Next Great War Zone, the South China Sea. I was just talking a little bit with Claudia Rosette about her take on things. But your view is that there is a zero-sum game playing out at the moment. Describe what that is for the non-political scientists among us and what the implications might be.
A zero-sum game is where if one party wins, the other has to lose. It's not what American diplomats like to talk about as a win-win cooperation. And here the zero-sum competition boils down to this. China claims about 80% of the South China Sea, which is international water, by the way, as its own, as an internal Chinese lake, and they claim almost all the features inside there. The United States, from the founding of the Republic,
which includes, among other things, an awful lot of natural resources, fish and minerals and oil and gas and all manner of other things, right?
Right. But the Chinese really want the South China Sea because they want to assure access to the Western Pacific. They do not want to be bottled in. And the way to do that is to take Taiwan and control the waters of the South China Sea. Now, on the other hand, the United States, really from more than two centuries, from the founding of our republic, has supported and defended the idea of freedom of navigation. And China's plans for the South China Sea obviously infringe on that. For one thing, China's building those islands in the South China Sea. They're claiming a band of 12 nautical miles of territorial water, which is formally international water. And they've already declared an air zones over those islands because when our Navy Poseidon P-8 flew in international airspace close to one of those islands of Fiery Cross Reef, the Chinese talked about their military alert zone and told us to move away. And 2 days after that, they filed a formal diplomatic protest of an American plane flying in international airspace. So there's no compromise here.
When you see this playing out as it does, and you read in the Wall Street Journal today how some in our government believe we need to simply withdraw from the region in order to avoid any possible confrontation that could get very ugly with the Chinese. Gordon, what do you say to such folks, and what do you think the willingness to hear it might be, particularly in places like the Commander-in-Chief Pacific Fleet, the new incumbent of which is Admiral Harry Harris?
Essentially, you can postpone a confrontation with the Chinese, and we've done that so many times in the past, but you cannot avoid it. All you're doing is you're changing the time and the place. So, for instance, we did not confront the Chinese over their seizure of Scarborough Shoal in the beginning of 2012. Well, that meant that the Chinese then started to pressure Second Thomas Shoal, also Philippine territory, and they ramped up their pressure on the Senkakus. So China's ambitions are gaining ground as they tend to achieve success. So really, we're just whetting the ambition of an aggressor. And this really has been the story of the last couple of years. So I have no doubt that there are some people in the Obama administration who would want to avoid a confrontation, just as people in the Bush administration before it, in fact, avoided confrontation. And the Chinese see successive administrations as weak and irresolute. So I'm sure that, you know, there can be some postponement, but eventually there has to be a confrontation because otherwise we have to give Hawaii to the Chinese. It's almost as simple as that. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but nonetheless, the Chinese have now talked about taking over Okinawa and the rest of the Ryukyu chain, which is clearly Japanese. And so we're seeing the same dynamic that we saw in the 1930s. Which is not to say that the Chinese are the Third Reich, but nonetheless, you see the same increase in ambition of an aggressor. And in fact, what we're also seeing is another historical parallel to the 1930s, the Japanese military at that time.
This is against the backdrop most immediately, of course, of a conversation at the so-called Shangri-La Dialogue. Gordon, talk a little bit about what Ash Carter, the senior U.S. representative, the Secretary of Defense, said, how he was received by the Chinese representatives, and what role, if anything, the Japanese played in all of this.
Well, Ashton Carter gave a very well-received speech. Now, well-received by the rest of the international community, not well-received by China. And he asked the Chinese to stop their reclamations. And, of course, he reaffirmed freedom of navigation. And he talked about cooperation with America's allies and friends in the region. The Chinese gave a speech on Sunday, a couple days after Carter spoke, really did not address the concerns of the region. Both speeches, Carter's and Admiral Sun's, the Chinese speech, were less harsh than the speeches that were given a year ago by Secretary Hagel and by his Chinese counterparts. But nonetheless, the tone was very clear this time in terms of America's position. And I think what we're going to see going forward is the United States and other countries engaging in freedom of navigation exercises around the reclamations of China, which means that we're going to be driving ships within those 12 nautical miles of those reclamations, and we'll be flying our planes over those islands in airspace that China considers to be its own. We probably, I think, will be doing this in conjunction with our allies to show the Chinese that this is not just a U.S. issue, this is an issue where it has the support of the rest of the region.
Yeah, I get that that's the bare minimum that we can do. And as you say, others in the region, notably the Japanese, are going to be taking matters into their own hands to the extent that they see us not taking such countermeasures. But Gordon, I guess what I'm vexed by, and I suspect you are too, is the difference between what the Chinese are doing, which is creating kind of a permanent facts on the seas, if you will, Harris has called them the Great Wall of Sand, on the one hand, and what we might do in connection with these overflights or these transits of naval combatants and the like is a somewhat transitory thing. What else can we be doing that gives more sustained substance at that to this zero-sum contest? And in that regard, you might speak just a little bit about the visit to the United States of a candidate for the Taiwan presidency as well.
One thing the United States can do, and in fact is doing, is increasing our basing rights around the region, certainly in the Philippines, where we are now going back into Subic, and also in Vietnam, where American warships are visiting Cam Ranh Bay. The Vietnamese have been a little bit hesitant about hosting the U.S., but I think they're going to become much more so because they are the one country most at risk because, unlike the Philippines, they're not a U.S. treaty ally. And clearly, they're feeling a bit vulnerable right now. So the basing rights are going to be certainly increased. Also, the other thing we need to do is increase our connections with our democratic allies. And in this connection, as you point out, Tsai Ing-wen, who's the candidate for the Democratic Progressive Party, is now in the United States. She'll be touring both Washington and New York. And she is the more U.S.-friendly of the two candidates. The Kuomintang, the ruling party there, has been trying to side up with China and actually has been trying, many people believe, has been trying to unify both Taiwan and China, which would be very bad for the United States in Asia because that would give the Chinese free access to the Pacific. And the Chinese have made it very clear that they want to pressure Guam and the islands in the Western Pacific. So what we need to do is have a strong Taiwan. We need to increase our relationships with the Taiwanese military. We need to make it clear to Taiwan that we will defend them, and we need to make that clear to Beijing as well.
And we need to have the capacity to do it, which is the other obvious key component in what the Chinese are calculating for the moment and what they will going forward. Gordon Chang, we're going to leave it at that. I think we're impressed by the magnitude of the stakes here. And as you say, this can well prove to be the next great war zone. The South China Sea, and we best be alive to that danger and preparing to contend with it. Gordon, I appreciate your being with us as always. Come back to us again next week. Next up, we will be speaking with Ambassador Roger Noriega about developments, including China, south of our border. That and more straight ahead.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.